You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Now, we're here this morning in Tulla. We're just parked outside of Tulla Courthouse in our Clare FM outside broadcast unit. And as we come to East Clare, we said we would focus on another very important local industry, namely tourism. Lots to discuss in terms of developments to come, but also, of course, existing businesses. And I'm joined here in our OB unit by Owen O'Hagan, Director of Derg Boat Trips. Owen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning. Derg Boat Trips, this was its first year.
It was.
So it was a new, new business. Everything went okay, I hope?
Sure, we had perfect weather for it. We had the summers that we all remember from our childhood.
Sunshine. You had a brighter childhood than I had, I can tell you.
If
that's what you had. But you couldn't have timed it better, obviously.
No, it was a great start, great year, and some great support locally and internationally as well. So we had visitors from all over the world on the boat, as well as locals in East Clare as well. So,
how hard or otherwise is it to attract international visitors to East Clare?
It's about getting the marketing right, Gavin. We, historically in East Clare, we have been the poor relation to West Clare, and the Cliffs of Moher, as we know, is Ireland's second biggest attraction for tourists. We want to try and bring East Clare forward in the mind's eye for tourists as well, and start a new businesses like mine, like Ireland's the new brand, Ireland's Hidden Heartlands and Loch Derg Blueway are all ways to do that. There's international marketing going to happen with Hidden Heartlands, with Fáilte Ireland and also with the Blueway. So that's going to bring people into the area.
I've questions about those brands because you also have the one down the southeast.
Ireland's Ancient East.
Thank you very much.
That's the whole east of Ireland. That's,
yeah, it's... It's other areas trying to see that the Wild Atlantic Way has worked and looking for their own slice of the pie, which I fully respect and don't disagree with. And I know that Killaloe is kind of the end point for the Hidden Heartlands aspect of it. But I do wonder to what extent those initiatives will resonate with people.
I think the middle of Ireland is a pristine place that hasn't been discovered so far. It has in some ways by tourists, but internationally maybe not. But with the Hidden Heartlands brand marketing, that Fáilte Ireland know we're going to do. If it's anyway as successful as the Wild Atlantic Way, the Shannon will be populated by a lot more infrastructure and catering establishments and pubs and everything that goes along with increased tourism.
You're dealing and conversing and liaising with a lot of your colleagues in the tourism sector in this area. Has the Wild Atlantic Way nearly hurt here, or is it that you haven't got the benefit that other areas have because they're geographically closer to it?
What has changed the landscape, I think, in Ireland is the motorways. The M6 and the M7 have made access to the Wild Atlantic Way possible within 2.5-3 hours. And that has opened the way for bus companies to start. And in Dublin, they pick people up at 7:30 in the morning who've cleaned off the buffet table in the hotel. They climb in the bus for 3.5 hours, go down to Cliffs of Moher, spend an hour there, back in the bus into Eyre Square for an hour and back up to Dublin. So they spend a lot of time on a bus looking at hedgerows on the M7 and the M6. The access is really quick to the Cliffs of Moher, but we want them to slow down, and part of what we're doing in Clare is trying to slow them down. It's recognised by Clare County Council that the Cliffs of Moher are very successful, but maybe overly successful. Killian Murphy in Loophead is trying to get people to slow down as well, and that's what the Hidden Heartlands brand is going to bring people on a slower journey through the centre of Ireland.
But will it? That's again, and I know I'm reiterating my question, but you'll have a new brand, you'll have a trail that people are asked to follow, and you'll still have that big motorway. And those companies that are making quite a nice little penny for themselves in picking up a busload in Dublin, bringing it to the Cliffs, bringing them to Galway, and bringing them back.
And there's room for them, but there's also room for the smaller operators, like Christine O'Brien, who's just sat in beside me there. Tourism East Clare are doing great work locally amongst the trade in East Clare to attract people, and their new website is a key part of that as well as what I'm doing on Derg Boat Trips.
Christine, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. Christine O'Brien is with us as well. And thank you very much, Christine, for joining us. You've got a B&B, or at Hula B&B, and your part, as Owen has mentioned there, of Tourism East Clare. We were just talking about East Clare and how difficult or otherwise it is to attract international visitors here. Your own thoughts?
I think that interesting that you mention accommodation. And we have a self-catering farmhouse out there. And that's what's needed in Clare generally, but especially in East Clare, is bed nights. and it's hard to know whether it's a chicken and egg kind of situation. Do you create the bed nights and then the packages come together, or do you create packages or reasons that people will stay more than one night?
It's not the field of dreams. You can't be certain. If you, build it, they will come. You know,
they will come, yeah. No, I think it's definitely what requires is a coming together of thinking first and then putting together. Trails is a good example of it, and what it is that we're about in East Clare as well is about nature and using that which we have. And I found from my own experience with people travelling and staying at Arbula House, when you have a self-catering property and it's a big property, people generally stay for a week.
Okay.
So you get to meet them a bit more, so you get to actually get a little bit of feedback. And what they're actually looking for, a lot of these people, is exactly that, is nature. They're coming from places that are in a city that are busy, busy, busy. Do you know, it's been an interesting thing for me to notice that you finish speaking to somebody and they'll lock the door behind them. You know, because they live in, in busy places, and I'm going, well, I'm only in the front garden. Why did you lock the door? You know, but they're just some people are mesmerized by looking at a cow, and we wouldn't think about it.
Of course,
twice,
yeah.
Right. So, there are those kind of things that we already have that we need to figure out a better way to market.
And I think as well, and you're doing it, and you mentioned own Looped Tourism, and Killian was formerly the chair of that, Killian Murphy, and still obviously very much part of in that area, but. One thing that they've focused on, which I know you're doing here as well, is it's not about getting necessarily more tourists, although you want more tourists, but it's about the quality of the experience you're delivering and the length of time that they stay. And that goes back to what you're saying on bed nights. For a county that gets so many tourists, the amount of time and money that they actually spend here could be a lot better.
And Killian's an excellent advocate for that, and he has it worked out to the penny. And what he is very good at explaining is that when you use your own resources, and when you actually really concentrate on local and then expand beyond the local, then what it is you get a bigger spend from the same person. So rather than 50 people going through and basically dropping 75 cents, you get 18 come through and they spend 20 euro each.
Yeah.
Do you know? And it, what it is, and that is, it's actually a different notion of looking at the marketing of tourism in Ireland. And his big word is about sustainability, but he explained it to me, and I think they have put it into action in Looped better than I've seen anywhere. And Tourism East Clare would really be along the same kind of lines of thinking. There's always going to be the coaches, you know, the big coaches and the groups and the paddy wagons and stuff like that. And they have a group that they cater to for people that want to go to a drop-off point and then be ferreted here and then back and then... And that's what they want.
Spend their night in Dublin, yeah.
That's right. But there's also another kind of visitor that is really interested in Ireland because of the way that Ireland is, that are quite happy to drive themselves around. And they stay for longer, those people. And there's, I think it's not just within Clare, but other areas, whether it's, linking in with... Kenmare and County Kerry, and then there are other places like in Sligo and Donegal that we have groups like ourselves that join in with each other that have people
share
that,
ideas,
share ideas, share commonalities, and also think about ways that if you have people that don't want to stay in just one catchment area for a whole week or 2 weeks, then perhaps there's a way to break it up so that they have two or three stop-offs where they have three or four nights, and everybody does better out of that.
If only on somebody had an idea to link all these areas up with some sort of a path along the River Shannon.
If only someone had, my Shannon Greenway proposal will
exactly,
link every single community along the Shannon and give a boost to communities who've been dying. And
I said it to you the last time we spoke about it. It's going to be a long project.
It is going to be a long project, but I think it's a worthwhile project. We've seen the benefits of the Waterford Greenway and the Great Western Greenway in Mayo as well, and the amount of people they're bringing and what they've done for the communities of Mulroney and Achill Sound and Newport that are booming now with new restaurants, cafes, B&Bs, and that's what the Shannon Greenway will bring to the whole length of the Shannon.
And just like there, this is a beautiful part of the country. That's the hard part in a way to sell, because you can't, even a photo doesn't fully do it justice. Yeah. You know, you have to come and do it. But when you experience it, it's absolutely fabulous. How important, though, be it the Greenway, be it Holy Island, whatever it may be, how important is a destination, a calling card, a come here and do this?
Well, I think you mentioned the Irish culture there. I think that's the key unlock Derg anyway. We know Clare County Council bought it 4 years ago, and they have a development plan, which hopefully they're going to get funding for to put into place now shortly. That, I think that's going to be the key driver around the whole of the lock. There's a focal point there that people can see from all around the lake. You saw during the week that the Rural Regeneration Fund has given $500,000 to the people of Agunalo to finish the footpath from Belkelly into Tungraini. And for the first time, we will have a continuous footpath from Scarf to Killaloe, and the amazing views of Lough Derg will then be opened up for people walking, running, pushing a buggy, cycling a bike along that pathway. And it's a small step along the Greenway that I've proposed. It will be, pun intended, yes. It's laying the foundation, pun intended, as well, yeah, for the Greenway. But I think it's going to be really a positive for East Clare.
It's broader than just Lough Derg, Christine, Inish Kaltra, Holy Island, if it were to go ahead. I mean, very important about Shannon, obviously, but beyond too.
It is, and I think the really interesting thing is when you bring that up, and having when I just first arrived and you were talking about the Cliffs of Moher, it's so important that those two things don't become the same, because Holy Island, I'll say it, Holy Island, you're all better at saying it in the Irish, right, is it cannot cope with that kind of saturation that will happen to the cliffs. And if you look at the communities around, there is a really good way to manage that a lot of empty buildings can then be filled again, can actually find completely different purpose, can find completely different owners and completely different customers, you know. But the only way that is going to happen is in part of the strategy and the development of when the funding comes for Holy Island, is that those surrounding communities are very much involved. Mm. You know, this can't actually be something that is driven from
an office in Dublin for
an office in Dublin with great consultants and have these these great ideas. But if it doesn't work that way, it doesn't work. Sometimes you have to build something new, and sometimes it's not necessary. Mm. Perhaps, you know, the core of what's needed is actually already there, and perhaps you just need to look at it from a different
focal
point.
Would you be optimistic that generally will be the case?
I think it's actually a lot more likely that they actually did a lot of initial research. I saw
plenty of information nights, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I saw I saw a big, massive manual that was created.
The development plan, yeah.
The development plan. And there are some ideas there that, this is only my opinion, I think, that are far out and unnecessary. Do you know, there are properties that have like a perfect view, that are right on the water, have a perfect view, that are empty and that are in misuse. And there's examples of, and I'm trying to think of it now, of places in England that are ex-gentry properties that are used for hospitality, tourism kind of combinations, and almost like open parks. And there's land that's there ready to be used for those kind of purposes. Yeah, I'd like to see the scope become a little bit more lateral.
It could be difficult when some of them are private ownership and that sort of stuff, but it could be something to be explored, and I don't know the full
I'd rather see something like that than something big built right up on the water that's like, it seems to be, I just think that it's incongruent to have some like big tall structure looking at what is an ancient relic. Do you know, I don't...
Well, Christine, I will say that Solert Architects, who Clare County Council employed to do to draw up the development plan, had a very sympathetic view of the island and a very sympathetic view of what might be built on the mainland to cater for it. The visitor centre they're talking about would merge with the landscape. But I think there's a lot of opposition locally to where they might think of building it, which was in the Ashtar Park in Mount Shannon, which was built by the people of the community of Mount Shannon, and there's a plot of land right next door to it, an old rectory, an old red brick rectory, which about 4 acres of garden in front of it. But because it's privately owned, I think the council will look at public land before they look at private land.
I understand, you know, these things will work themselves out over time to a certain extent, and when they become a reality, we'll find out exactly what they are. I suppose in a broader sense, as opposed to just looking at we are still looking at the project, but in terms of what it would mean, Christine, is that what East Clare needs?
Oh, I think that there's always an advantage when you've actually got a particular destination or an area of interest, especially for the first time. Do you know, it's like there are people that will have that fall in love with Ireland that will come back several times, and they don't keep on going back to the Cliffs of Moher. Mm. So it is good to actually have something that grabs your interest first off. But it's very important that that's not the only thing. The last thing you want to do is to have this whole visitor experience set up there on Holy Island, and nobody stays, you know, yeah, in Clare, that then Clare continues to be a thoroughfare. We can't have that because, you know, there are many things to do and many areas of interest and beautiful landscape, as you were mentioning before.
Absolutely.
Like, people got to stop. See, that it's a different, yeah, and you don't have to be a Cliffs of Moher and you don't have to be a Dublin. I think most of the people that live in East Clare would hate that. Do you know that?
Yeah. What I would hope is that you'll get the sign at the Cliffs of Moher, you know,
yeah,
Holy Island and East Clare, and you know, and, yeah, and Bunratty as well would be another obvious example for something like that as well. It's a couple of years away, and you can't wait for it. So I'll finish just by looking ahead to next year. Owen was telling us he's had a positive 2018. I hope that was the case generally across East Clare. How does next year shaping up?
I think next year, well, for ourselves, we there is a quest, which is an adventure race that's being held in Lough Derg in it's August, I think, August 2019. And we actually initiated that idea through our strategist, through Tourism East Clare, and approached. So Quest have agreed that Quest 2019 is going to be in Lough Derg. Now, more of that is what's needed. Do you know, exactly
events.
Like that. Yeah, events like that that then become annual events, and the ripple effect then carries on through the broader community. And that is like a several day event. I'm not going to like pretend that I know all about it, but I mean, that in itself gets a lot of attention. It's similar to an Ironman kind of
yes,
thing.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But if you were to look at getting something like that with the brand of Ironman, you have to have a lot of cash up front to actually bring
this
them forward.
This is something similar.
That they work with you.
Yeah, one positive, and Christine spoke earlier on about lack of bed nights in East Clare. Pádraig Gibbon and Scariff has planned two hotels in Scariff, one on the shores of Lough Derg and one in Tuam Graney as well. Building bedrooms is going to get people to stay. There's no point in having slow tourism if people have to camp out in the open air. Now, that's okay for some people.
Of course.
They might build their bivvy and look at the stars outside, but some people...
It's not for everyone.
Yeah, a lot of people like the comfort, and we need bedrooms.
There's massive expansion at East Clare Golf Club as well, and it's
that's
a combination.
Yeah,
the hotel plus more of the self-catering village.
Is it a very, very positive big upward curve then?
I think so.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a few years of working really hard just to get traction, and I feel like it's there now. I feel hopeful.
And what Tourism East Clare, a very positive group, and working really hard, and this Quest thing has come out of that, as Christine said, but like they're working hard with the trade in East Clare, and the future's bright.
What's Tourism East Clare's website?
www.visiteastclare.ie.
Check it out, because even in other parts of this county and people listening to us all over the place, you need to check it out to come and see it. There's a lot to do.
Yeah, it's member driven, so there is a membership for it, but what it is there's a dynamic database that you as a member get to log in and you get to create events. So what we're trying to do is on that website is have the first current relevant music of live gigs that you up the member updates
I understand.
Themselves.
Because
I mean, it's initially we're trying to get those in East Clare, but you know, music doesn't stop at the border. So if you're musicians, pub owners, anywhere that hosts events or anything like that, it is a really small membership fee to get on there, and it's so good for the visitor. Or they want the music in Clare.
I hope your optimism becomes a reality.
And me that it's too.
And that it's infectious.
And that it is absolutely indeed. Yeah. And I really hope it's an area that does great potential. I think we can all agree on that, and I hope that it is realised. And Christine and Owen, I really appreciate your time. And thanks for joining us. And actually, I'm going to thank you separately, Christine, because you've reminded me, as you mentioned music, Alton Conlon was in touch with me last night. He's performing tonight way over the other side in Kenny's in Lahinch. We heard from him on the programme a couple of weeks ago as well, and I promised him I'd give him a mention of that gig tonight. Some tickets still available, getting underway. I think it's at 8:30. It may be 8 o'clock. Be early and have a great night anyway. Christine and Owen, thanks for joining us.
Thank
and
you.
We will meet some more enterprising youngsters from Tulla next year. Listening to Morning Focus here on Clare FM.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.